Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1792, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated.
Oh, this is the one with the ribs.
There you go. Now it's time for the ribs.
This is an application, conditional use 1792, the application of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a regional wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 320.21 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, southeast of Route 277, also referred to as Robinsonville Road, both sides of Route 289, also referred to as Joylin Way, and both sides of Route 279 being Camp Arrowhead Road. For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down a copy of the proposed conditional use that was submitted as part of the record. And I'll read it first. This is the Wandendale Regional Water Recharge Facility proposal. The application is made pursuant to Sussex County Code 115-22 as a conditional use to regionalize a proposed wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal facility and list a series of tax map parcel numbers. The sites are presently in agricultural use and zoned AR1 agriculture residential. This application is for a proposed facility to be available regionally to serve proposed projects with which the applicant is contracted to provide wastewater treatment and to any existing neighborhoods within its certificated area that it may be required by the Public Service Commission or who otherwise become interested in connection. The facilities will consist of wastewater treatment facilities, disposal sites consisting of rapid infiltration basins, wooded and agricultural spray irrigation areas, and related pumping appurtenances, pipes, and mains for the collection, transmission, or disposal of wastewater. The sites proposed for the conditional use are more particularly identified in the exhibits. Again, the applicants have provided us with a rather large exhibit booklet. It has been a part of the record since June 16th of 2008. And again, it is a part of the record. We received comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division on June 12th of 2008. Now they make reference to the application, the location by tax map parcel numbers, and the proposed regional wastewater facility. The site is located in the Angola Neck planning area. They did not comment on wastewater capacity being available since the county has not yet planned to serve this area. Makes no reference to Ordinance 38 construction. Conformity to the North Coastal planning area study will be required. County Engineering Department has met with the applicant and his representatives. By the mutual agreement of both parties, the following language has been agreed upon for use as conditions on this application and stated proposed conditions of approval. All improvements for collection, treatment, and disposal of sanitary waste shall be constructed and maintained in accordance with the requirements of the Sussex County Engineering Department, if any, or the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, and any other governmental agency with jurisdiction over the use of the site or any modification thereto. Two, the applicant shall submit to the County Engineering Department a regional plan that shows all the areas and or subdivisions to be served by the wastewater treatment and disposal facility. Said plan shall include technical support that demonstrates that capacity exists at the treatment and disposal facility to serve the areas and or subdivisions. Three, the facility shall not receive sanitary waste for treatment and disposal from any property or parcel that is located within a Sussex County sewer planning area or sewer district, excepting therefrom those properties or parcels which are currently being served by other Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated treatment and disposal facilities or approved for service as evidenced by a CPCN being issued by the Public Service Commission on or before the adoption of this conditional use ordinance. 4, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And then should the above condition be included, the Sussex County Engineering Department has no objection to this application. A concept plan is not required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. On June 24th of 2008, I received a copy of a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District in reference to this application. It lists 12 different soil types on this property. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation upon completion of construction. There are no storm flood areas, flood hazard areas affected by this application. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, the applicant would be required to follow state and sediment stormwater program guidelines. There are no tax ditches affected. Attached to the memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, also a copy of an aerial soils map. There's also a attached soil maps and report by Map Legend and Map Unit Legend, and an additional report in reference to the use of prime and other important farmlands relating to the different soil types. We also received on June 20th of 2008 a copy of the June 13, 2008 letter from the Office of Management and Budget on behalf of the State Planning Coordination Office, making reference to the Wandendale Regional Water Recharge Facility. And it is a copy of the PLUS report. And lastly, I received a letter on June 24th of 2008 from John J. Mars, trustee, by Norma H. Daisy, substitute trustee. It states, I object to permission granting a conditional use for Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated to construct a regional wastewater collection and treatment and disposal facility in an area that has many homes and a proposed church that will be built in the near future. I own 3 residential building lots adjacent to the proposed area and feel it would be detrimental to the value of my land. And gentlemen, that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we begin, I do want to ask, other than the applicant and its rather sizable posse, is there anyone here that's interested in this application this evening? Okay, then. Okay, we'll proceed with Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, which is Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. You're correct. I do have a posse with me this evening. This application is a little different than the typical wastewater treatment plant application that I bring to you for regionalization, in the sense that the size of this plant is a regional wastewater treatment plant, and it is to serve a regional area rather than being the enlargement of a plant that's already in existence in a subdivision. For that reason, we have presented to you a fair amount of technical data contained in the exhibit book, and I've also brought with me a number of persons who are prepared to answer questions should questions arise that require technical statements. I have with me this evening Bruce Patrick, who is a professional engineer and is also vice president with Tidewater Environmental Services. I have Lee Beechin and Steve Lewandowski, both of whom are engineers with CABE Associates who participated in the plant and disposal site design. And I have Thomas Dwyer, who is from Eastern Geosciences, Inc., who did the hydrological study. And I have Frank Key, who recently was an expert in matters of equine matters, who is now converted to being used in the wastewater treatment plant side, and he is with Frank Key Communities, LLC. In the book, I also should identify, I have Russell Marsh is here somewhere. Where'd you go, Russell? Russell is the owner of Wandern, or the president of Wandendale Farms, Inc., the lessor and owner of the real estate upon which this property is this project is to be located. This site contains 320 acres, and if approved as applied for, would result in the placement of what is known as the Wandendale Wastewater Treatment Plant, which would provide wastewater treatment for approximately 3,700 EDUs. The site itself, as we go through the project, you will see is located on four different tracts of land. And of those four tracts totaling 320 acres, I think it's interesting for you to note that the treatment plant itself only constitutes about one half acre. There are rapid infiltration beds, which will constitute about 20 acres, some lagoons of 12 acres, and the residue of the tract will be spray areas, buffers, or will contain roads and access ways. Currently, the property is zoned AR1 agricultural residential district. The property is in agricultural use or is wooded, and there is a hunt club run by the Marsh family located on portions of it. Under Section 115-22 of the Sussex County Zoning Code, a conditional use is required for this type of use where you have public utilities, buildings, treatment plants, and disposal sites, and attached to the application is a narrative of all the proposed uses that we would use for this property, which would include the necessary facilities for collection, distribution, treatment of, and the necessary pumping and piping and electrical apparatus for the treatment of wastewater collected in the area. This site is also located in the environmentally sensitive development overlay zone and in the SDA and a level 3 within the comp plan and within the state strategies for spending. We are obviously not asking the state to spend any money on this because this is the type of infrastructure investment by a private utility that would not require the use of any state funding sources. We've also supplied in the exhibit book a number of documents which are of particular interest to you, and let me just highlight quickly the ones that I think that you may find the most valuable. Starting at tab A is an aerial view of the site, which will show to you the location of the proposed treatment facility, the irrigation lagoons, the rib areas, and how they are spread out through this particular area, their relationship to a couple of landmarks that you would know, such as the fire station number 3 of the combined Lewis and Rehoboth Fire Companies, and also the Midway Baptist Church, as an example, and the Marsh Island Golf Club. I'd also would draw your attention to Exhibit E, which is a listing for your review of the Wandendale TESI Certificates of Public Convenience and Necessity, the wastewater service agreements and signed petitions list that will show you the numbers of units that are available at this time or may be available if approved for this particular plant. Lastly, for the benefit of Mr. Johnson, tab K, sir, is the consolidated plus and plus response of our comments to those agency comments that were received through Connie Holland. I will point out to you, Mr. Johnson, that they were received late on Friday the 13th. The filing deadline was February 16th. It was a bit of a scramble to get them done in time to get them in the book, but we did the best we could with the help of some of the consultants that are working with us to get it done.
Your letter was dated the next day, the 14th.
It was trying to get them all in. So we've got those in there for you.
Noted.
Also would point out to you that there are a number of studies and reports that will be addressed by Bruce in his comments, and those are set out in tab F, which includes Eastern Geosciences Hydrologic and Geophysical Consultants Report. There is also a tab G, the Atlantic Resource Management Report, tab H, a summary of the nutrient balance and effect on the inland bays. And if you take a look at tab I, there is also a sample of what the high-performance membrane bioreactor wastewater treatment plant works and how it looks. Those are all there for your consideration. There are no public or private streets involved here. Any sanitary waste disposal will be taken care of on site. Any water supply that may be required obviously would come from Tidewater. And there are some wetlands delineated on site, which will be addressed later on. And obviously, there are a fair number of location summaries for you to take a look at. With all of those thoughts in mind, I would like to introduce at this time Mr. Patrick, who will describe for you his qualifications as an engineer, the proposed use of the property, the location of this property, the various uses that will take place, the technical aspects of the wastewater treatment plant and disposal, both the methods and capacities, the use of what I call the residual lands, which means those lands that are not actually devoted to the treatment or disposal of wastewater, how the aesthetics will come together, and how the proposed service area and CPCNs and the Sussex County Engineering Department planning study areas come together. When I get back up, I will go a little more into the relationship that we have with the County Engineering Department and how that comes together. It was referred to by Mr. Lank in the Ashman letter and deserves just a few more comments. With that, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you, Dennis. Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Environmental Services, and first I'd just like to say we appreciate the opportunity to present our proposal to you this evening. Just a brief background on myself and Tidewater. As Dennis had mentioned, I'm a registered professional engineer. I have 17 years experience in the design and permitting of water and wastewater facilities, construction administration of the facilities, and essentially utility management. Tidewater is a regulated wastewater utility operating under the realm of the Public Service Commission, DENREC, and the county. We essentially design, build, own, operate, maintain facilities as a utility provider, very similar to what we've done on the water side for many years now. The Public Service Commission oversees Tidewater for its tariff, for the rates that we charge, for the franchise area, the areas that we're allowed to operate in, as well as the service that we provide. DENREC regulates us on environmental issues, essentially the construction of the facilities. We obtain operating permits from DENREC. They monitor and ensure compliance with the operating permits. And Sussex County, as mentioned earlier, will have to submit the concept plan. We'll have to get our drawings approved in accordance with the Sussex County ordinances. So that's a brief background. What I'd like to do is just go into an overview of our proposal. First, just briefly describing the purpose of the proposal. And it is essentially to design, build, own, operate a wastewater treatment and disposal facility that will actually do several things. It would serve proposed developments within our planning area that I'll talk about in a second. It would serve existing developments if the developments request such service. It provides the opportunity to eliminate septic systems or failing septic systems within our area. And the area that we're targeting, there's actually about approximately 1,600 septic systems in that area. In addition, it will eliminate the need to construct multiple on-site community wastewater systems that have been approved. So with that, I'd kind of like to refer to what's Exhibit C in the booklet, just kind of showing the general area of service that we're proposing. The pink area is the county planning area, which we will not be providing service in that area unless we already provide the services Mr. Lank had stated or have been certificated to provide that service. Essentially the blue area is what we deem, I guess, is our planning area. And we have several CPCNs and wastewater service agreements within that area where we're obligated to provide the service. So that's just a brief background on that. What I'd like to do is go over the types of treatment and disposal that we're proposing. But first, I'd like to go over just the general location of the facilities themselves. So I'd like to put up Exhibit A, if I could. We'll put up an exhibit. It's actually the same as Exhibit A in your booklet that'll give us a good feel for the general location as to where we're at. This is essentially Route 24 in this area. Naturally, this is Camp Arrowhead Road. A couple landmarks have the Lewis Rehoboth Fire Station, the Marsh Island Golf Club, and the Love Creek Woods Subdivision. Kind of gives you a feel for where we're at. The site is actually outlined in yellow. the four parcels, and we'll get into more detail of those parcels in a few minutes, but essentially parcel on the northwest side of Route 24, and actually parcels on both sides of Camp Arrowhead Road, predominantly the sites located on the east side of Route 24. So that gives a general location. As I go through the various types of treatment and disposal, I'll explain them, then I'll go back and hone in on specifically where they're located on the properties. So going into the types of treatment and disposal, we're proposing a very high-end, state-of-the-art treatment facility. It incorporates the activated sludge process, which incorporates aeration cells along with membranes. It's an enhanced nutrient removal system that will exceed all pollution control strategy that have been established for the inland bays TMDLs. The proposed discharge of the water, total nitrogen will be 3 milligrams per liter, total phosphorus 0.3 milligrams per liter. This is actually followed by disinfection, so leaving the facility, we will be meeting the drinking water quality standards. It's extremely clean discharge. The location of this treatment facility, I'd like to kind of hone in on that for a second, referring back to Exhibit A, and it's on the northwest side of Route 24 in the wooded area, essentially right adjacent to the fire station. And as Dennis said, the actual treatment facility itself is a half an acre, plus or minus. It's a very small footprint for the facility itself. What I'd like to do, I don't have a big exhibit, but if you would refer to Exhibit B in your booklet, it'll give you a feel for the renderings and the style of the facility. Essentially, we're trying to design the facility such that it blends in with the surroundings. It'll be an agricultural-style buildings. It'll really be, when you look at it, I guess, from the road, it'll be difficult to tell that you're actually looking at a wastewater treatment facility.
Are all these mature trees that are in the picture there now, or are you
Yes.
going to be putting those in?
No, as you can see from the aerial photograph, they're all very mature trees.
Okay, just want to make sure.
The types of disposal that we're proposing, I'll give a brief overview of them, and then I'll hone in on the locations of the disposal as well. It's land-based disposal consisting of two types, essentially, spray irrigation and rapid infiltration basins. The spray will take place on cropland and in forested area. It's similar to the county's facilities for spray irrigation, such as the Inland Bays, Wolf Neck, Piney Neck, and so forth. But as discussed, it will be treated to a substantially higher level. For the spray as well, there's actually two storage lagoons that will be provided, and that's a requirement if the ground's frozen, if the ground's saturated, if the farmer is tilling the property, planting crops, removing crops, will store the treated water in the lagoons at those times. So there's approximately 150 acres that we will be spraying on, and after I get through some of the disposal, we'll point that out. But the second type of disposal is actually rapid infiltration basin disposal, and they're essentially shallow 18-inch basins that accept the treated water, and then the water will percolate down into the ground. This type of disposal requires a substantially good separation. I'll get into some of that when I go through the soils to groundwater. There's two areas proposed for basins. We have a 15.4 acre area proposed, as well as a 4.3 acre area, and there will be six basins in each area. The basins are operated such that you dose one basin per day on a daily basis. You let the other basins rest. Then you go to basin number two on day two, basin three on day three, such that essentially a five-day rest period from the time you dose a basin until you get back to it again. And a basin will typically be dry. The permeability of the soils and the separation are such that when it's dosed, it should leave that basin within an hour or two. What I would like to do is actually refer to some of the specifics. If we can refer to the site plan, starting with sheet one, which is on the north side of Route 24, and that's on this easel here. That's on this one too as well, yeah. The plant, actually, there's three proposals, I guess, on this property. We have the plant that we talked about adjacent to the firehouse. We have one storage lagoon, as well as an 8-acre wooded section that will be spray irrigated in the wooded section itself. I'd like to refer to site plan two, which is essentially between Route 24 and Camp Arrowhead Road. Just This site actually contains the 15.4-acre rapid infiltration basin. As you can see, there's the six basins that I had mentioned. What I'd like to point out, the basins are actually well hidden. They're surrounded, for the most part, by woods. They will be fenced. It's a requirement to fence the basins. In addition, on this parcel, there's agricultural spray area where we'll be spray irrigating the crops, as well as a forested portion that we'll be spray irrigating in also. Like to refer to sheet number 3, which is the north side of Jollins Road and the west side of Camp Arrowhead Road. And it has the 4.3-acre rapid infiltration basin system sited on this parcel. And again, it's actually totally surrounded by woods and will be fenced. In addition, on this parcel, there's cropland that will be spray irrigated, as well as a forested piece that will be spray irrigated. Okay. Referring to sheet number 4 on the site plan. The fourth sheet actually is a location of our second storage lagoon, as well as other agricultural spray areas. So that kind of breaks out, differentiates where the various components of disposal and treatment are located. What I'd like to do now is get into the soils work that we've had performed and hydrogeological work that's been completed to date. We've actually had a lot of extensive soils work that's been done on the site. A soils reconnaissance was initially done on all the properties, essentially soil borings every 600 feet, and that actually gave us a great indication that the sites themselves are suited, very favorable for this type of proposed use. In addition to that, all the field work has actually been done in a rapid infiltration basin areas for the detailed soils investigation report, which is really where you hone in on those sites and do the borings at 75 foot on center, supplement them with test pits. And I'll talk about some of those findings as I get into the report. Also in those areas, we perform double ring infiltrometer testing, essentially to assess and determine the permeability of the sites. Then again, we'll talk about those results and how that was used. We've had, Jack Hayes, the Benrec soil scientist, actually been out on site. He's been intimately involved with the process. He's acknowledged that everything is very favorable for what we're proposing, as well as Scott Strohmeyer, the Denrec geologist, has been out taking a look at things, and we've got good favorable results. The soils data right now, just to give you a feel for some of the results, in rib area A, the 15.4-acre rib area, the depth of groundwater is about between 22 and 24 feet. And to give you a feel, Denrec requires they require a 24-inch separation from the bottom of the basin to any groundwater mound that would be created. As you'll see as I go through some of the modeling, we're not creating much of a mound at all with what we're proposing, so it really exceeds the Denrec requirements by a good stretch, so we're very fortunate with that site. The depth to groundwater in rib area B, which is the 4.3-acre area, is about 12 foot, so again, good separation, a good unsaturated zone. The permeability rates were very favorable, some as fast as 2 minutes per inch, which is what you need. You need the good separation, the good depth of groundwater, and the good permeability. That's why those two particular sites are really ideally suited for the rapid infiltration basins. In addition to the soils work, there's actually been a lot of extensive hydrogeological work that's been completed. We've completed continuous wet season monitoring across the site in accordance with Denrec's wet season schedule, essentially from December through May. We had 28 wells across the site where we monitored the groundwater and recorded all these groundwater level readings, which we'll talk about later how we use them in a hydrogeological model. In addition, we have 4 40-foot deep wells that were installed on the site, and we did a full-scale aquifer test, essentially, where we could look at all the various stratas in the soil, determine the characteristics. We did pump tests that allowed us to determine the transmissivity, essentially, in the soils, which then allowed us to determine the various travel times, which we plugged into our model. The hydrogeological model was actually run with all the data that I just mentioned and collected. It essentially simulated loadings to the basins and to the spray irrigation fields like they were being sprayed on, irrigated. We used a conservative rate, actually, for the basins. We proposed 1 gallon per day per foot squared, which, based on the permeability rates, you could load it more than that, but we stuck with a conservative rate. as well as the spray irrigation. We used about an inch and a quarter per week on the site. So when you combine those two, the site is capable of handling about 1.12 million gallons per day, which using 300 gallons per day, which is a DENREC and a county criteria, you're looking at about 3,771 units worth of disposal capacity on the site. And the model indicated minimal mounding, so it was good news. The soils characteristics were such that the travel times to the downgradient wells within a 1,000-foot area was actually a 2 to 15-year period. And there's actually a 70 to 90% dilution of the discharge by the time it gets there in that time period, a dilution of the already drinking water quality standards discharge. Also, with the significant depth to the groundwater, the 22-foot separation and 12-foot separation, you're actually getting additional treatment in that soils in the unsaturated zone in addition to the already highly treated water. So the drinking water quality that we will be discharging, combined with the travel times that I mentioned, combined with the dilution, it was determined with a model that there will be no adverse impacts to the to any of the surrounding wells or to any of the water bodies. Based on the work that's been done for the treatment and disposal proposed, several things. We'll actually meet drinking water quality standards and will exceed the pollution control strategies for the Inland Bays TMDL. We'll produce 40% less total nitrogen required by the pollution control strategies and 90% less total phosphorus required by the pollution control strategies. In addition, we did a nutrient balance to take a look at, you know, the current use of the property, what kind of nutrients are leaving and what kind of nutrients will be leaving under this proposed use. And it's actually being reduced at full build out at the 1.12 million gallons per day. The total nitrogen leaving the site would be 20% less than currently leaves the site. In addition, the total phosphorus leaving the site would be 21% less. I'd like to touch on just briefly the phasing of the construction and the operation of the facility. We will not build a 1.12 million gallon per day facility right at the start. It will be built in phases as needed. We're proposing that it would be built in two or three phases, essentially where you could have treatment modules or treatment trains, we call them, in parallel. You could bring them online as needed, so you could start one up without having to start the entire plant up. And there will be incremental increases in the capacity such that there is adequate flows for proper operation and maintenance of those facilities, minimizing any need to pump and haul. Initially, we may pull in a 50,000 gallon per day module, which can operate on relatively low flows without pumping and hauling. Once that nears its capacity, then we could go into one of the first permanent trains, treatment trains. So in summary, we're proposing to design, build, own, operate a wastewater treatment and disposal facility, reduce nutrients, recharge the groundwater, no adverse effect on the wells or the water bodies, preserving open space, forested area, farmland, to serve new developments, to prevent multiple community systems that would otherwise be built in some of the individual subdivisions. It's going to give us an opportunity to serve the failing septics in the area, which we've estimated at about 1,600 based on GIS data that we have. And again, just pointing out the yellow areas are what we have certificated or what we already serve, and they are out of the county planning area. We will be staying out of the county planning area. So that concludes the summary of it. I'll turn it back over to Dennis at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Let me pick up where Bruce last left off. Gentlemen, as you know, on occasion we show up in here and we receive letters of objection from the county engineering department because we are, either for this applicant or other applicants, in the county planning areas. The opportunity arose for the county engineer and some of his staff and the applicant and some of its consultants to meet and participate in a conversation where we tried to work that issue out as it related to this particular application. As a result of that, I drafted the conditions which are to be found in the findings of fact and conditions of approval and submitted them to Mike Izzo for his review and approval and the review and approval to staff. And what you see in there are the four conditions that are reflected in Mr. Ashman's letter that were agreed upon by the county engineering department in order to allow for some peaceful coexistence of what has previously been two adversaries looking to serve different areas. I think that the accommodation that Mr. Izzo and his staff and the applicant have come up with is a rational one that does provide for cooperation and coordination both from the private and the governmental utilities so as to not to have the conflict in the future, at least as it applies to this particular area, over who will or will not serve the areas shown. I do want to point out that on the map, that's the document or the plot plan that's sitting on the floor, the pink area is truly the county planning area. The yellow areas are truly those areas that we have certificates for, and the green is the site itself. The blue area tends to be a little more approximate. And the reason I say that is this. Unlike the county, we do not have the ability to define a boundary for our service area and compel connection. So if we say that we're going to go into the blue area, it has to be based either upon petitions filed with the Public Service Commission requesting that a certificate of public convenience and necessity be issued to Tidewater, and then that certificate would authorize Tidewater to serve the areas within the certificated area. We could go out as far as these lines, we think, based upon the size of the plant, the treatment and collection methods. We don't know for sure. We don't know how many total applications we may ever receive. I know the commission looks at these things and says, what happens if somebody has a failing system? If someone has a failing system, they're not in a certificated area, but they're in the blue area, then it's a matter of getting a hold of TESI and finding out what it takes to get themselves served if they're in an area where they can be easily served without a considerable expense to either the company or to the landowner. If they are in the pink area, the same process may apply to the county engineering department if, in fact, it's possible to serve. In our conversations with the county engineering department, we both acknowledge that there are times and places where we may be in the other's area for circumstances such as that. And to give you just a better twist on this, if you take a look at the map on the floor and you see two green blocks that are located in the lower left-hand side of this lower left quadrant of this map, those are county wastewater treatment facilities. So as luck would have it, we're treating ours and theirs, and they're treating theirs and ours if this application is granted. The other thing I'd like to point out before I begin closing here is if you take a look at Exhibit J, it's a letter from the Nature Conservancy that was filed with the county, Mr. Godwin, the assistant to the county administrator. This letter does not endorse nor does it reject our application. In fact, it has nothing to do with our application. But it's in there because of some language that's contained in the very last paragraph and was made as a part of a record in some other proceedings. And that is that the Conservancy says that it believes that Sussex County and its municipalities can achieve their wastewater management and spray irrigation objectives best through long-term lease agreements or similar arrangements on privately owned farmland. That, in fact, describes the application that we have here. By using long-term lease with Wannondale Farms, Inc., we're going to be able to retain 320 acres that will primarily still appear and still be used for agricultural uses. There may be people here who didn't raise their hand who have concerns about what will take place here, but we're showing you a plan that has one-half acre of wastewater treatment over 320 acres. The property will remain in agricultural uses. It will remain in hunting club uses. The structures will look like barns to the best of our ability, and we've shown you examples of that both in the book and on the cover as to how we can think we can comply with that. And that fulfills that philosophical statement that was made by the Nature Conservancy about what should or shouldn't take place here. So, in conclusion, as I often do for the benefit of the commissioners, I have provided you with proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law and conditions of approval. I ask you to carefully consider the conditions because they have been crafted to satisfy the competing interests of the private utility and the county engineering department. I will point out to you that we do have, we think, an application along with the exhibit book that we wish to have made a part of this record. Met the burdens required to show that we are a public utility with a public service use that we have treatment plants, pumping stations, apparatus, disposal facilities, treatment facilities, all of which making up a public use meet the minimum requirements of a conditional use. There is before you a plan that we propose that will protect the surrounding properties. It will take out of the potential land bank, if you will, of properties that could be developed for residential uses, properties that will be remained in agricultural use. What we do is desirable for the county and its citizens because we will provide infrastructure not so much for future development as it is for currently existing areas that will require wastewater treatment. All of this is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the county zoning ordinance, and that is more better articulated for you in a particular tab identified as a statement of conformity to the county comprehensive plan. Our impact on the neighboring properties, we believe, is minimal because the areas that we propose to use for either treatment or for disposal are either concealed or can be concealed from public view and will not affect adjacent properties. And lastly, as the conditional use ordinance tells you, these are the types of uses that require planning judgment on location and site plan, and we hope that we have presented to you the necessary tools with which to affirm this application when you exercise that planning judgment. Gentlemen, I have with me a posse, as Mr. Wheatley has described them, and we're prepared to take any questions you may have on this application.
All right, sir, we thank you. And I'll see if anyone has any questions. And I believe we'll start once again with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the promptness that you responded to the state's response, obviously, to get here. I assume that's because it was an expedited application.
Two things, sir. We recognize the fact that it was an expedited application. We also are impressed by the significance of having plus comments and responses to the commission prior to a commission hearing on any particular application, particularly one of this significance. So we wanted to get it done as quickly as possible so it would be available for you.
Well, with that said, has there been a receipt of the state's response to your response to the plus comments?
No.
Okay.
We're moving quicker than they are, we're pleased to say.
I would imagine you have more at risk than they do in terms of their paychecks. Could you share with the commission the advantages of having one large treatment wastewater treatment area as opposed to multiple ones that are contained within these various subdivisions?
Let me give you two examples, Mr. Johnson. One of them is that I think that you and I and the other members of the commission are familiar with standard subdivision applications where there is a potential, as a hypothetical, 100 lots with 100 septics. You now will have available, if you're an applicant or if the commission were to compel somebody, and I don't want to get into the legalities of that, but the potential now exists for there to be a centralized wastewater treatment facility for an applicant who has a subdivision in a particular area. So that's one example. The second example is that, of course, that not only will we eliminate the potential for community systems, as septic systems that currently exist in the area go, and I've forgotten the number. My recollection is, Lee, it's what, about 14? Where'd Lee go?
1,500.
There are about 1,500 septic systems in the area. The potential for any or all of them to fail at any one particular time would allow for them also to be connected to the system. So by having a centralized wastewater treatment facility, you have removed at least possibly up to 1,500 septics or any future development areas. By doing that and by providing a centralized uniform wastewater treatment plant, you minimize the deleterious effect of any wastewater on the ground itself or flowing into any of the adjacent streams, marshes, the Indian River Bay.
And we spent considerable time talking about the quality of the water that comes out after the treatment. What happens to the biosolids?
They will be treated on site with a centrifuge piece of equipment, and then they will actually be landfilled.
Then they'll be trucked off to the landfill?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So from the perspective of any neighbors to your treatment buildings, what odors might they expect to emanate from the buildings themselves?
There really shouldn't be odors. To give an example, we have the same exact technology down the road at Hart's Landing, a membrane bioreactor facility. It's in operation. It's literally immediately adjacent to the swimming pool. They do not even know that it's a wastewater treatment facility. The odors are negligible or non-existent.
And how about from your lagoons?
Likewise. I mean, the lagoons actually have the treated water, so it's already a high-quality water when it goes out to the lagoons.
And is there any type of movement within the lagoons to keep the water moving so we're not breeding more mosquitoes?
We haven't gone into the final design stages, but certainly we can take that into account if we need to put some aerators in there. Absolutely.
And I noticed on your drawings here that the light color drawings, there's a lot of them. There's various areas that are being where references retain rights by the owner.
I'm sorry, which drawing are you looking at?
The multiple ones, these black and white.
Oh, the site plans.
Yeah, the sheets 1, 2, 3, 4. I think on just about each one of them, there's areas that are stated as, and else, for example, sheet number 1 is a little more obvious that it's being retained by the owner, but is that for agricultural use or is that for?
Yes.
And so there's no other plans by the owner of the property to do any further development on those areas that are being retained?
We are not the owners and we can't control the owners, but the owners have expressed to us that that is their intention. And I will tell you that in the negotiation of the leases or the lease for the sites that are involved, the primary concern always expressed by Wandendale Farms was that it remain in a state in which the agricultural, wooded, and hunting uses can always remain in effect. And I have Mr. Marsh here. Mr. Marsh, would you confirm that that's the expression that you all made during the...
Yes, that's the way they've always felt.
Sir, if you're going to testify, I need you to come up and give your name so that our tape recording system can recognize you.
My name is Russell Marsh. With Wandendale Farms Incorporated, and that's how we came across this whole project. Is we wanted to find a way to keep it agriculture, and this is the route we went.
Okay, thank you.
I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Burton.
Just one for me. If there's a need for expansion on this with this facility, does the building size change?
It could, couldn't it?
Actually, refer to Lee Beechin of Cabe Associates, our consulting engineer. However, the building size, for the most part, is going to stay the same. The treatment modules, essentially the tankage that we would bring in, for the most part, is subsurface. So the buildings themselves are kind of the where everything comes in and sort of the control building, so to speak. So there should be minimal change in building size when things are expanded.
There won't be any other out parcels of buildings if there wasn't a need for an expansion.
Right. And if we had the need to expand a building for whatever reason, it would be right there in that same location.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
No questions.
All right, then. Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Couts.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Mr. Burrow.
No, thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you will kindly stand aside for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1792, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated? In favor. Yes, in favor. Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Yes, ma'am. Stand up. I need you to come up here and give us your name, and then you may have the floor. No, ma'am, you need to speak up here in this microphone because that microphone is hooked to that tape machine, and we have to tape you. Over here, right here. Ma'am. Yes, you have to face me.
face
me and talk into that microphone.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, you
may
proceed.
My name is Betty Lee Carmine, and I live on Camp Arrowhead Road. And I'm very much in favor of the wastewater treatment plant. I feel that the time has come because of the overdevelopment and everything that's going on around Sussex County, that the time is going to come when we're going to have one cesspool running into the next one. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. No one's going to have, if they keep on allowing everybody to do this, we're not going to, our water isn't going to be fit to drink, for one thing. And I think that having something like this that we can all relate to would be a wonderful thing. I've lived in that area. We lived at Camp Arrowhead for 45 years, and there was nothing down in that area. Now it's built up to the point where there are people and buildings everywhere, and I've seen a significant change going on, and the change means that you've got to do something about it. You have to do something about your water, especially. So I feel that this is a good thing, and my main concern is, as a retired person, is how much is this going to cost us? And I think that's a reasonable question to ask.
All right. I'll see if I can get an answer for you.
What?
I'll see if I can get an answer
for you. All
right.
You do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Mr. Schrader, is there anyone in your group that would like to address the issue of what this system might cost the users?
Mr. Patrick would.
Okay. Mr. Patrick, enlighten us, please.
At this stage, that's a little difficult, I guess, to answer. I mean, it's going to depend on the phasing, what that initial phase is built for, whether it's a 200,000-gallon per day initial phase or 50,000-gallon per day initial phase, and, you know, which back calculates into the number of users and creates the economy of scale. So, I mean, I think I can say that we run various scenarios, and it's going to be pretty comparable to what a connection fee would be for a county sewer rate, and pretty comparable to what a user fee would be for a county sewer rate. So, I mean, it is difficult to give specifics, but I think we're in the ballpark, essentially.
All right, then. Let me thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, yes, sir, here, and then over here.
My name is Terry Carmine. I live with Mrs. Carmine.
Is that right? Do you know her, or are you just a boarder?
I'm 98% in favor of this project.
Okay.
My concern is, do the developers, are they aware of the layer of clay that's 16 to 18 inches below the surface?
I suspect that they are, but I'll ask them.
And then the other 2% is concerned about whether this is going to cost me anything, one, and then the other percent was, would I be forced to hook onto the system if my septic system is working properly?
Well, we'll try to get you answered all those questions. Thank you.
I'll take the last one first, Mr. Wheatley, and that is, no, sir, we will not force you to join us if you choose not to do it. However, if your system fails, you may not be able to get a replacement permit for your septic system, and the state may require you to connect to the system, but for the moment, you don't have to. As for the first question, which I believe was, do we know about the layer of clay?
Clay layer. Mm-hmm.
This gentleman should.
Okay.
Now, good evening. I'm Thomas Dwyer, president of Eastern Geosciences. We conducted the hydrogeologic evaluation for the site.
Okay.
There are some areas where there are silty or clay soils in the upper 2 feet, as the gentleman indicated. In particular, in the proposed infiltration areas, any places where those soils would be found, they would be removed. They would simply be excavated out. The underlying soils are very sandy and very suitable for infiltration of wastewater. In the spray irrigation areas, the nature of the soils is being evaluated throughout the entire area, and loading rates would be set appropriately for those conditions. So if there are silty or clay or soils, there would be a reduced loading rate in those areas. Areas that are more sandy could have a higher loading rate.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? We had a gentleman over here. Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
My name is Sam Freeside. Live on Camp Arrowhead Road. Also, mm-hmm. I'm not
in favor, and I'm not against. I have a concern.
Good enough. Go ahead.
I live right across from Marsh Island Golf Club, mm-hmm. and it's the low part of the terrain, and I could figure on at least two times a year where I get significant runoff from the farm in the back through my property and floods my garage and my whole front yard. And I came to for my concern regarding the type of water that they're going to be using for irrigation. If I understood them correctly, I could drink that water.
Well, let's find. I'm going to find out because you know what I heard that drinking water thing too, and we're going to take a poll of Mr. Schrader's posse here.
If he wants it on his dinner table.
All of you that would drink that water, would you raise your hands? All of you guys that would drink that water. All right, so there's your answer on the drinking water part. It meets drinking water standards, but nobody's really all that comfortable with
I'm sure.
Well, and that's, you know, and that kind of stands to reason because, you know, I don't necessarily drink out of an irrigation pump on the side of the road either. So, all I can tell you is that their testimony is that it meets or exceeds drinking water standards.
I heard that too. Since I was here, I figured I'd get up and get on the record voicing my concern regarding the water runoff.
I'll see if that has any, you know, if there's anything they have to say about that or can do about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Schrader, water runoff that might be created from your applicant's proposed activities.
I mean, that's sort of, I guess, the purpose for the two storage ponds. If the ground's saturated during a storm event, I mean, we will not be allowed to spray. The Denrec permit will strictly prohibit it. I mean, so spray irrigation will not occur at those times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That really didn't answer my concern. My concern was we get the summer downpours where we get 4 or 5 inches of rain in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's when I get the...
Okay. And I appreciate your concern. I would, unfortunately, you get it down. Unfortunately, that is sort of beyond the scope of our hearing, but I want to give you a suggestion. Contact the folks at the Soil Conservation District in Georgetown, the Sussex County Soil Conservation District. Explain to them what your issue is, and they'll probably come out and look at it with you. And if your neighbors, the golf course, or somebody's doing something wrong.
I've been there, done that, Denrec, got the whole nine yards. And we're kind of not happy
Budget impasse. Well, that's beyond the scope of our involvement, too, so
I'm
sorry about that. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? In favor. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. You might remind me. Yeah.
Good evening. My name is Donna McCallum. I'm from Angola by the Bay, which is also part of the Angola Neck Sewer District, which is the next district to be sewered in Sussex County.
Okay.
We are in close proximity to this proposed treatment plant. I heard a comment that you made earlier when you opened this conditional use hearing that the county engineer's office approved this, provided that Tidewater does not go into any areas which is in the county regional sewer district, or that's not verbatim, but something to that extent. My concern is that we're in an area which is in a moderate, very moderate to, and there's some low income areas that are back along Camp Arrowhead Road. The sewer rates that we're looking at from the county are the highest, I think, of any district that's been sewered around here recently. I mean, they're almost double the fees of other communities that have been sewered. My concern is that if Tidewater can provide the service to our sewer district at a cheaper rate, then why is the county in opposition to that? That's my first question.
That's a question you'd have to ask your county councilman, ma'am.
I intend to ask the county engineer's office, who has not been in touch with our community, which has 900 and some residents, since the passing of the referendum. So I will be contacting the county engineer's office tomorrow. But I also had another question for Tidewater, and that is these communities within the district that you're proposing to sewer or proposing to provide sewer service to, will you also be constructing the collection system for those properties?
I can answer that.
Sure.
The new developments, very similar to new developments that's served by the county system, those collection systems will be constructed by the developer, the developer's contractor, to our standards, which essentially are the same as the county standards. If we have a request to go into an existing neighborhood to eliminate septic systems, we would take the same similar approach that the county would, where we would spearhead the whole project at that point. So we would, in those cases, actually install the collection system and finance it that and get that to a connection fee, very similar to what the county does.
I have one other question.
You can ask me?
Yes. If Eric, there was a statement made that if we petitioned, I believe, the Public Utility Commission, that to provide service to that area. I mean, I have no idea what Tidewater is talking about in terms of sewer fees. But from what I've heard here, I think it's something that our community, as well as anyone else in our sewer district, really needs to know that.
I think what the man testified to a few minutes ago was that it would that they believe that it would approximate what the county charges. Now, as you pointed out earlier, that can vary from one place to another. So I would say that your expectation certainly could be something in the neighborhood of what you're paying now.
Well, we're not on a sewer system right now, but
what you might be paying now if the county did it.
Okay. That's and I had one other question. How soon does Tidewater anticipate that this treatment plant is going to be built?
Well, we'll find out.
If approved by the commission and county council, we anticipate about a 24-month period for the first phase where we could actually accept wastewater. So
okay,
20 to 24 months.
2.5 years, ma'am, something like that, 2.5 to 3 years. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1792? Yes, sir. Step right up.
I'm not for or not against. I just like, my name's Francis Skull. I live at Love Creek Woods, number 12.
Okay.
And my property, the back of my property will face the one of the farms that will be irrigated. And I'm just curious of, like, how much water is going to be pumped out of these pumping stations, and how loud is the water, you know, is the pumping station going to be? Is there any requirement for noise level or anything like that?
That's a good question. I'm going to get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else? Anything else you want me to ask him?
Yes.
What else?
Also, you know, Route 24 is very busy. A lot of development in that area.
Yes, sir.
And I wonder how much traffic are they going to produce with sewage trucks? How big are the trucks going to be? I mean, it's very narrow.
I don't think there's much trucking that goes on. I think it's mostly pumping, but I'll find out for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Come back here. There we go.
As far as the noise issue, I mean, relatively none. There's going to be essentially center pivot systems out in the ag fields, just like you see across Sussex County. So, I mean, you may hear the spray system itself.
And this is something most folks in Sussex County know and understand, compared to a normal irrigation pivot in a cornfield, what are we looking at? Is it going to look the same? Are you going to be able to tell the difference when you look at it? Or
it's going to look pretty much identical, actually. There may be a couple of fixed sets.
That guy back here disagrees with you, but I don't think he's going to get up and talk. But if he does, we'll hear his side of the story. Go ahead.
Okay, so, I mean, they will be relatively the same. As far as the traffic issue, I mean, that's a very low volume traffic issue. I mean, we'll have an operator in there on a daily basis.
Is there any trucking of any of this material?
Ascension and pickup. We will have the residuals when we remove them, take them to the landfill, but that's not a frequent occurrence.
How often?
And again, this depends on the size of the facility, the number of homes connected to it. I mean, I could not imagine that happening over once every couple of weeks when we really get, you know, a decent flow coming in initially. It could be once every couple of months or even less than that.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you. I think that was it. Okay, anybody else want to speak? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Joan Deaver, and I'm getting information for a group I represent called the Plantation Road Coalition and the No Build Coalition, some 2,500 people who live in the area. I apologize, I didn't hear the presentation, so I have some questions, and please bear with me. It's important that I get this information back to everyone. First of all, so many of our people didn't know about this. Was the land posted?
Yes.
Okay, where?
Mr. Blank, where was the land posted? And to you, Miss, you know, it might be a good idea, since you missed the presentation, the tape would probably be available tomorrow
yeah.
or Monday.
Okay, good.
I encourage you to come in and listen to it.
And so
you can get it online.
There you go.
Okay.
Get it online.
Okay, because it's important. And I did look for the agenda on the website yesterday and got in touch with Chip Guy because it was not on the website. And he sent me a PDF of it post-haste, but it was not up there. So I'm very concerned that people know about this. This is a big deal.
How did you find out about it?
Actually, a person who's in a development community called me about it. She didn't have any idea what kind of hearing was going to be held about it. She had some drawings of the lagoons and whatnot, so that was her interest in it. So I shouldn't have found out that way. I should have found out somehow by some sort of public, notice system. So anyway, I'm going to have to say, you know, as much as I like Mr. Esposito, he's a nice man, I'm sorry to see a commercial company doing this kind of thing. I would much rather the county do it. I had a meeting with Mike Tyler, Mabel Granke, Mr. Esposito, and some other people about the water tower they were putting up, and he told me point blank, we don't put fluoride in our water because we don't want the liability. Okay, their bottom line is a profit, and I understand that, but I would much rather the county be doing this because I think the county works in the people's interest more than a commercial company does. I have some questions about these lagoons, whether they're going to draw mosquitoes, and if not, are they sprayed? How do you deal with that? And what kind of smell are we talking about here?
I think it's been answered, but I'll answer
for okay.
it again. There's the minimal, was what the testimony was, that it was minimal to non-existent smell. Mosquitoes, I don't know about, but I'll find out when
mm-hmm.
you're done.
Because we're told not to let sitting water lie around because it draws mosquitoes. I have to go along with what the scientists are saying, that this is a good way to treat human waste. However, as far as everything I've been able to find, it still will have a lot of hormones and chemicals in it. So other than getting free Prozac, I don't know how it's going to affect us. I don't know how it's going to affect the headwaters of Love Creek. I also would like to know what the Center for the Inland Bays has to say about it and what kind of nutrients would be going into the bays. I think it's very important that we have protection for the people who live around this thing. Are we going to have forested buffers? And I think we know what they are now, but I hope that we have very thick forested buffers to protect the folks who have to live with this. Last thing I want to say is that, obviously, I would assume that we're talking about tearing up Route 24 to install this thing. You're going to have pipes, I would imagine, mains going up and down the road. DelDOT is also going to widen Route 24 from Route 1 up to Love Creek. So I would ask, please, that this be done at the same time. So, you know, it's a narrow road, a lot of traffic on it. We don't want to have businesses interrupted, and we want to allow people to be able to get around. Okay? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Can I answer that?
You answer the posting question, and then we'll get to the other technical things.
The site was posted on May 9th of 08. And I'm looking for the picture. It was also advertised in the Sussex County and the Cape Gazette. And that advertisement took place on May 28th. And it was also posted on the, the posting on the site was May 28th also. And it was posted in the office on the bulletin board on May 22nd. And the sign was posted near the church on Route 24, which is one of the parcels involved on, as I said, May 28th.
Thank you.
And I have a picture of the posting too, if you need to see that.
Good job, Mr. Lang.
Good job, Mr. Lang. Okay. Let's have the engineer tell us about. You may.
We also sent out 61 personal notices to residents within the area.
Which is not a requirement of the ordinance. That is done as a courtesy by the commission. Well, when you're elected to county council, you can change that. Okay. The question was mosquitoes.
Yes.
In the holding ponds, I guess.
Actually, White Marsh, one of our subsidiaries, we actually operate two other spray irrigation facilities where the wastewater is actually not treated to this high of a degree. There's never been issues. I mean, if there are issues, certainly you can put some aerators in the water, keep it stirred up, but we've never had issues with mosquitoes.
Okay. Hormones and drugs remaining in the water. Is that a fact?
I would defer that probably to perhaps Mr. Beecham.
Okay.
My name is Lee Beecham, and I'm the president of Cape Associates. We were the design consultant for this project.
Okay.
Endocrine disruptors and pharmaceuticals in the wastewater, they're ubiquitous. They're all over the place, but they're in such minute amounts that, for instance, caffeine is found in all the groundwater and all the water supplies in the United States, but you would have to drink. I was at a conference where they quoted by the chief scientist for the Philadelphia Water Department, something like you'd have to drink 18 million glasses of water to get the equivalent of one cup of coffee. So they're there only because we detect them, mm-hmm. but they're not there in harmful amounts. And the EPA has been mandated by Congress to come up with a study to determine the toxicity of these materials and the issues related to these materials. You don't start dealing with treatment until you find out that you have an issue. So first you have to identify the quantities there are. Then you have to go through a very rigorous scientific, in fact with EPA it's a 13-step process to find out whether or not these materials cause cancer or cause other things. And only after you get into that can you have regulations, and then that's what drives treatment. Public works people don't invest in treatment until they have a regulation that's a driver. So I think it's there, but it's not there to the point where you have to deal with it as an issue right now. We're 10 years down the road.
Good question. Good answer. Thank you. Appreciate it. The tearing up of Route 24. We're going to be tearing up Route 24?
No, we, as a regulated utility, we have to get franchise agreements with DelDOT. The force mains would be in the rights of way along the edge of the roadway. If we make do road crossings, we're required to do directional drills or jack bores, essentially trenchless technology, where we do not tear up the roads.
Do you make is there any effort made to coordinate your work with the other DelDOT work that might be taking place at the time? Or
yeah, we try to coordinate as much as possible with DelDOT doing work. If we know the county's doing work, we try to coordinate with them. So yes, we do try to coordinate with as many agencies and other entities as possible.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Good evening. I'm Pete Fisleski from the Willows Property Association, which is right across on Robinsonville Road, facing Lagoon A. Okay. We just have a bunch of questions. Like everybody else, some of us here, we just came here to learn about how these systems work.
Okay.
I would make comments about what the previous lady said. I found out about it while it was in the newspaper, but it was focused on Angola. And obviously, like everybody else, you know, say, oh, that's not me. I don't worry about that. And then I found out that the boundaries were Robinsonville Road, and then we got to look at it.
How did you find that out?
I got it. It was a newspaper. A neighbor gave it to me and said, you'd look at this, and I start reading through it.
The reason I ask that question is that we have a prescribed way that these things have to be advertised. It happens that way every time. And we're, you know, it could be very well be that we need to find another way to do this. So I always like to ask people how they found out.
Okay. Yeah, and quite frankly, you know, once we got into it and we saw Robinsonville Road, as everybody knows, there isn't anybody here. It's kind of like the water issue. Would you drink the water? Well, nobody likes to live next to the processing facility. When you talk about minimal odor, well, what's minimal odor? So a lot of the people in our community have a lot of concerns. If you look at the drawing here with the Lagoon A, we're right across from it. Our entrance, main entrance, is right across from the lagoon. What was proposed on that drawing is a fence line going down. Chain link, I presume, probably 10 feet high, 8 feet, 12 feet, who knows. What some of us are saying, well, you know, if you decide you're going to put trees as a boundary between the firehouse and the lagoon, why not on that facing property? Try to make it as attractive for the homeowners, because many of them are very concerned now about house values. While it may be the best thing in the world to put this in, nobody wants it in their backyard in reality. Right. And so the big concern there is property value. Mm-hmm. So that's a suggestion I'd make, is to try to make it as attractive if you do go this along the fence line. That's a possibility there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to dress it up.
Okay. So. I'll ask them about that. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Would you and members of your group like to visit a similar facility somewhere?
That would be a great idea, because most of us have come away with it. We really recognize that we don't know much about this. So that's why we came tonight and for us to kind of say, well, how do these things work? What do they look like? Are there other ones around?
I'll ask the applicant if they would be willing to organize a field trip for you at their expense. So that you can actually see one, smell one. I mean, I think that's the best way to find out.
Sure.
So one trip to a customer, sir. We'll ask the applicant up to come back up. You had a question. I forgot what it was.
The one was around the tree line.
Oh, the tree line and the fencing. Yeah. And by the way, these folks might like to take a field trip to a completed facility. Can you arrange them make that happen?
I sure can.
Get
absolutely.
Get transportation for them, buy them lunch, and
we have a facility extremely close by.
Let them
by.
Drink the water with their lunch.
If they want. After you, of course.
No, seriously. Yeah. That's one of the best ways to tell. That's just like the question, how much water? The number of gallons would be meaningless, but if you can compare it to something people understand, something that I understand anyway, which is a irrigation, that means something to me. But to just tell me how many gallons it was, and you know, I think it would be real good for anybody that wanted to see one. So
yeah,
you guys would exchange information after class, not now, after class, okay, and see if you all can't make that happen. Now, his question is about the fencing and the trees. Can you talk to us about that, how to make this so that it's less visible and has less potential impact on property values?
Sure. We've actually discussed this, and, I mean, we want to be a good neighbor. So part of what we discussed is essentially a row of Leland cypress trees. I mean, they're a relatively quick-growing tree, something to screen them. So, I mean, we would be glad to meet and discuss that. And mm-hmm. within reason, I mean, we certainly would be willing to... Okay. to try and buffer those.
Well, there's things like, just as a comment, the Leland cypress is causing a problem in the area right now, if anybody's read about them. I'd say there's different things
you
we can
what,
look at.
You know what's been going on with that, too, is the state forester usually gets involved now in what these buffers are planted with for that reason, usually require them to use native materials and so on.
I think
these folks, if they're successful with their application, would be reasonably sensitive to that. In fact, we have the ability to make that a condition. So we'll note that.
While the gentleman's here, I just probably could ask
well,
a couple
ask
more.
You can ask me, and then I'll ask him. I know it's cumbersome, but
okay.
It's what the
one of you were talking about the water. the issue of the water mosquitoes. And I guess my curiosity was about movement of that water. What's the frequency of the movement and going out to some of the irrigation fields? How often is that moving around?
What's the turnover on the water?
I mean, that's a good question. You're required to have...
Hope you have a good answer.
You're required to have a 30 to 60 day storage time in the storage lagoons for those times of essentially wet weather, saturated
right.
ground, so on and
right.
so forth. So that would be the maximum time, essentially, that it would be, you know, stored that high. Typically, you would... The lagoons would be the fullest. You would store during some of the wetter months, December to May. You would start spray irrigating naturally when the crops are in their full growing season, May, June, July, August, and so on. So the water will be turned over quite a bit more frequently during those months than it would be in the, say, the winter months. Initially, I mean, in phasing the facility, there will probably be very little storage, if any storage initially, because we'll have the rapid infiltration basins that could probably serve the first several phases.
Okay.
In a situation where I'm not sure if there's a retention level that you maintain, because I think one gentleman asked about overflow, and obviously when you get these northeasters blow in, that would be a concern. I know it's treated water. Is there an embankment? What is it? What is the base? What's the construction of those ponds?
That's a great question. And DENREC requires a certain amount of freeboard, essentially excess storage in the storage lagoons just for those events. So that is taken into account.
There's a bank on this thing that exceeds what the normal capacity would be, so we would hold it back.
What about the actual basin? What is that construction? Is it lined or is it what?
It is lined, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's it.
That it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with your trip. Gene's limousine has a stretch has a stretch Hummer that I think would be very appropriate for that trip. But
good with that $4 gas.
It's just a suggestion. Anyone else like to speak in opposition or not opposition, but would just like to speak? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? I do think we're going to close the public hearing, but we'd like to leave the record open for the receipt of the state's response to the applicant's responses to the plus comments, and then to allow 15 days thereafter for the public to respond in writing to those comments if they so desire. That being said, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you all to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And I would remind you that we are still in session for those of you who are going to be leaving now. If you could do that quietly, I would appreciate it, because we've got a lot of other business to do.
Did your statement about the...
All right, go ahead.
The record being open, should be in the form of a motion.
Well, okay. Well...
You've already stated it. You might as well make it a motion.
Well, let's have a motion real quick on that.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to leave the record open to receive the comments to the plus comments, state's comments to the applicant's comments to the plus comments, and to have 15 days thereafter for the public to comment in writing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.